now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
It is 6:21 on a Monday evening in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. Well, the other major Supreme Court ruling today was on the Arizona immigration law, and it's likely to have nationwide implications. And while the ruling found that many of the provisions of the law were unconstitutional, it did uphold one of the most controversial ones. So is this a win for those that want the whole thing to be thrown out? To find out, I'm joined by David Thronson, Michigan State University law professor and co-director of the MSU College of Law's Immigration Law Clinic. David, thanks for joining us on WILS tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote in the majority opinion that, quote, Arizona may have understandable frustrations with the problems caused by illegal immigration while that process continues, but the state may not pursue policies that undermine federal law. So tell me, what aspects of the Arizona law did the court say went too far?
Well, there were four provisions at issue, and the federal government had argued that these were preempted by federal law, and the Supreme Court agreed that three of them were. And one of them they sent back, essentially, to say, let's see how it works in practice, and then we'll see if it's challenged, but we're not going to strike it down on its face. So the first provision was a Section 3 of the Arizona law, which made it a crime in Arizona to have to be present without valid immigration papers. The second was Section 5C, which made it a crime to apply for a job or hold a job without proper immigration papers. And the third provision, which the court said was preempted by federal law, allowed a state or local police officer to arrest someone on belief that they had committed a crime which might make them deportable at some point. So those three provisions, the court stopped and said that federal law preempted them and that they cannot go forward and cannot go into effect. Basically, none of SB 1070 has gone into effect yet, and these three will not now go into effect. The one provision that the court it did say, you know, let's see how this works, is the one that people refer to as the show me your papers provision.
I mean, isn't that a problem, though? Exactly. That provision, which allows law enforcement to check for citizenship, I mean, doesn't that pose a major problem since that is the first step in the process of potentially deporting somebody?
It is. And I think, you know, this is the folks who would claim that Arizona won a victory today point to the fact that this provision will be allowed to go into effect. People who look at the other side, you know, can count to 3-1, but they can also say that the court and Justice Kennedy was very clear here, said, let's give them a chance to do this in a constitutional manner, but made very clear through some examples that not every implementation of this, an implementation that invoked racial profiling, for example, or an application of this that involved any prolonged detention longer than would normally be in place for the type of stop at question would really, you know, hold up. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting that the decision of the court, you know, Justice Kennedy gives the example of someone stopped for jaywalking and says, well, if they made a legitimate stop for jaywalking, that'd be fine. And yes, they could then, under SB 1070, make an inquiry about immigration status. But if they wouldn't hold that person for jaywalking longer than a very brief period of time, and it took longer than a really brief period of time to make that immigration check, then in that instance, we'd have a problem, and there would be an issue. So I think there'll be a lot of emphasis as this law goes into effect with people thinking about what is the profile of people who are actually detained.
But let me ask you, in Arizona and elsewhere, isn't a driver's license considered proof of citizenship?
It is not proof of citizenship per se. They don't have, for example, the enhanced driver's license like we have here in Michigan, where they've actually checked citizenship and put an embossed, you know, notice on the license itself that citizenship has been checked and verified by someone. But a valid Arizona license exempted you from this questioning process under Section 2B. So someone who had that driver's license with them would, of course, then be exempt from this questioning under the law.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward, though. I mean, if you have some proof that you are a legal resident of Arizona, then you shouldn't have any issues with the police officer, typically, then, from what you're saying.
You should not, but, you know, then what happens to the person who walks out to pick up their paper, you know, without a license in their pocket or runs down to the corner store? So there will be cases, I'm sure, there will be cases where, you know, identification is questioned for its validity.
Mm-hmm. But in a way, the provisions that were knocked down, it's hard even to understand the point of them. It's a crime to hold a job if you're not legally there. I mean, those kinds of things are relevant if ultimately a police officer can confirm that you're not a citizen. Aren't you just simply going to be deported? The fact that it's a crime, how is that even?
But what I think the decision has done is it's essentially, this is a victory for the federal government in the sense that it's sort of reaffirmed in the core of the Kennedy decision is that immigration is a federal issue and that the federal system is what should be deciding this. So, yes, you can be stopped. Yes, you can be questioned on your status. Yes, we can call the federal government up and say, would you like to, you know, take this person into custody and deport them? And that may, in many instances, lead someone from a minor stop of some sort, a jaywalking stop, into a deportation proceeding. But it also leaves that decision to the federal government ultimately and says you, Arizona, cannot impose your own penalty on this person.
Well, but in fact, what you're saying, though, it leaves Arizona, which is having its own issues on its borders with illegal immigration, with no option of directly confronting it, at the same time telling the federal government that, you know, you can address this issue if you want, or you can just let it continue.
Clearly the federal government under this decision could respond to each check saying, you know, no, thank you, we're not interested in this person, please let them go. And that would, you know, be a completely valid response. It would satisfy the 10B70, SB 1070 mm-hmm. provision saying they have to do a check, but it would also, with the limitations of Arizona being able to act unilaterally and imposing consequences, it would, you know, leave that to the federal government to decide, is this a priority case? Is this where we want to put our resources?
So where does that leave a state like Arizona, though? I mean, they've attempted to set up their own rules here, some laws that's been knocked down. Are they basically legally, at least, left with not being able to do anything effective, at least as far as they're concerned, when it comes to the illegal immigration problem?
I think this is, you know, to the extent they can spin, you know, the show me your papers provision going forward as a victory, it's a fairly hollow victory. Because really it says, we can keep doing what we're doing now. We can do it maybe a little more often. We can maybe do it pursuant to a state law. But essentially we have systems in place through a program called Secured Communities where people who are taken into custody are very often screened for immigration status, and they then move into the federal system for mm-hmm. removal.
Do you think this kind of a ruling can lead to a greater influx of illegal immigrants, or is this, does this even register on there?
I don't think this makes a big difference. I think we've already seen the Pew Hispanic Center, which is one of our better sources of demographics, has already shown us that in the last year or so, we've seen a net zero, you know, immigration from Mexico. So as demographics shift in Mexico, as our economy struggles, there's less of a draw here. We do have mm-hmm. significant barriers in place at the border for people to get through. And, you know, essentially, we've probably lost more people to Mexico going back than we've had people coming in. And I don't think anyone can point to enforcement as the reason for that.
About 30 seconds left. Do you expect this provision that stood to get knocked down at some point, to this paper checking provision?
I do, probably in the long term. I think it may be several years of litigation, and it will be in practice, and there will be challenges about the way it's implemented. But I doubt if this stands in the long term. And it may be that, you know, a state like Arizona at some point changes policy and course and you know, makes an affirmative choice not to pursue this policy.
David Thronson, Michigan State University law professor, co-director of the MSU College of Law's Immigration Law Clinic. David, thank you for joining us on WILS this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about Al Jazeera English. You probably have not seen this channel, but it is out there all over the world, and there are efforts now to bring it to America. A new study from the University of Michigan looks at how Americans view this channel and what affects their viewpoint on it. That is next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.